Hello, beautiful friends, and welcome to another edition of Still the Fat Kid podcast. I am extremely excited about tonight's guest. She is an incredible artist, a loving, beautiful soul, and we're gonna get a little deep on you tonight, but it's something I've been wanting to bring to you for a while now. We've actually been trying to schedule this podcast for probably 2 months now.
Yeah, a little while.
Yeah, and we just had some busy schedules going all over the place, so really excited to bring this to you tonight. So, Jerrica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So one of the ways I love to start off the show is asking you a couple questions.
Okay.
First one, what is something you're grateful for?
Something I'm grateful for.
Yes.
I practice gratitude a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I usually start with simple things like water, food, AC, loving family, you know. And when I concentrate on that, it usually spreads farther.
So. Yeah. Is that something you do daily?
Yes.
Start off the day that way?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
You know, it's actually been proven, like, those who start out the day like that, I forgot the exact number, but they're like exponentially more happy and successful than those who don't.
Yeah.
So awesome. All right. Here's kind of a fun question I love asking everybody. If you had to have a walkout song for life.
A walkout song?
A walkout song for life, like a song like every time you entered a room or every time you went and did something, this song would play. What would it be?
I don't know. You just got me real excited about that. I really love music. So, a walkout song. I don't know. I feel like I'll connect with like a song and I'll like jam it for a while. And then like whenever I evolve, like the music will evolve too. But I would probably say Wild Light. I really like her.
Is there one song in particular?
Rain.
Rain by Wild Light.
Yeah.
I'm about to check that one out.
Yeah. It's good. It's got some... It's pretty tasty tunes, you know?
Love it. Love it. So you just finished the Fishbone Alley project.
Yes.
That is exciting.
Yes, and a relief.
You spent some hours on that, didn't you?
Yeah, about 2 months from the start. Well, that was just putting the brush on the wall to the ending video and the art show.
But
it's been in motion for almost a year before the actual. So.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I knew you'd been working on it for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize almost a year.
Yeah, it was in motion for about a year, you know, hiccups and trials and tribulations. But it was so beautiful because, you know, I'd get, you know, a brick wall, so to say, of like, oh, sorry, there's a blockage, you know, and I'd lose my patience and just like, oh, I'm so ready to paint, you know. And then what I realized is it was all detours and it was all pre-planned and it was like this big grand finale production that if I would have, you know, did it last year, it would have just been up and that would have been it.
Yeah.
You know, but then Nick Cook coming in, you know, painting my face on the wall and there's just this like beautiful story with it and the art show lining up that I was able to drop my video the day of the show. And
that was crazy.
The synchronicities were just, you know, really beautiful and really powerful. So yeah.
Now, because I'll cut in a picture of some of the stuff she painted. Now, for the large mural that you did, what was kind of your thought process, inspiration behind that?
The inspiration behind that actually came through a lot of pain that I went through. I went through this state of, I feel like I've been through like a very intense transition probably in the past year and a half from my career changing to the people I lived with, my support systems, the people that I love, my go-to people, you know, that are there for you, your solids. And I had a part in my life where everything was changing and I lost the three main people that were my support systems all at once. I felt like within a week or two, you know, like it was very much like boom, boom, boom. So I suffered a lot of loss and went through a lot of trauma with that. And through those states of trauma, I was having these, I guess, revelations to say of how to heal from it, you know, and how to respect it and honor those relationships and know that they were there at the perfect moments in my life, you know, and that, you know, transitions cause people to move in different spaces and that's okay, you know. So going through that, I think, was was definitely the inspiration behind the mural, because the mural is about accepting the waves of pain that come to us in promising cycles. Because the bullshit always comes. Excuse my language, but it does.
It does.
You know, and I found that it's getting to a place to where you can accept these waves of pain that come to us because they're our biggest teachers, you know?
Yeah, okay, now that you mentioned that, like, now I can see.
The optical illusion, because yes. It rolls like waves.
It does.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I took that picture of it, I got home and I was editing the picture, and I just like found myself like staring at it.
Yeah.
Because of that optical illusion.
You're like, is it moving or is it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just like staring at it like, this is crazy.
Right.
And the part that like I love and admire about that is it's so big.
Yeah.
It was like 40 feet?
Yeah, about that.
So it's about 40 feet on the side of a building, and you create this optical illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for it to go from here to there, that takes some vision.
No, yeah, you know it.
Yeah, and that's like, I love that because for me, like, I'm just thinking, like, how did that happen?
Yeah. You know, I thought about that a few times too. I'm like, can I even do this?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I got it. Just keep moving, keep moving. And I find like art, you know, helps me heal, because it's like with that doubt or a big project or, you know, questioning your abilities, it's like just working through it. And even though like I made a mistake on, you know, just getting those circles lined up was a doozy, you know? So I was trying to get them, you know, but it's just like working through it. And I feel like that's anything in life, you know, it's just keep taking them steps, keep moving forward, you know? And it's like, you have these moments of doubt, but then at the end of it, it all turns out perfect and it builds itself anyway. I'm like, I'm just a tool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, especially with something so big, like if you would sit there and try to paint the massive thing at one time, it'd be overwhelming.
Yeah.
But literally it's brushstroke by brushstroke.
Every single one, yeah.
And then, you know, and you find yourself immersed in it, just doing the brushstroke, one after one, and you're just like immersed in it. It's so like narrow focused.
Right.
But then after you're done, you step back.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow.
Right.
Look what I just created.
Yeah. I mean, I stared at things for hours, like during, but after too. I just sit there and just like look at it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's a powerful lesson for people out there that have like these goals they want to accomplish that are overwhelming to them.
Yeah.
And when you first sat down to do that, I'm sure it was overwhelming.
When you see that big empty wall, you know, but like once those black lines, just the tracing got on there, it's like, like the flame was started, you know, and it's like, okay, but yeah, it's just those one little steps and just to keep moving and to realize you are making movements.
Because
like in it, you're like, oh, I'm still stuck. I still got all this left to do. I still got but it's like, you're in the process. You are still moving.
Exactly.
You know? Slowly, but just be patient with it, you know?
Well, that's
nurture
hard.
It.
Patience is so hard.
Yeah, it is.
Especially in this like immediate gratification we live in right now.
Yeah.
Something like that when you're painting 40 feet.
Yeah.
There's no immediate gratification to that.
Mm-mm.
Like how many hours do you think you put in that?
Oh, a lot. Probably I would say for the 2 months, 3 to 4 days, probably 12-hour days, but there towards the end, like the last 3 weeks, I probably worked 5 to 7 days straight, 12 to 15-hour days.
Of just painting?
Yes.
Of taking
just
those
painting.
Individual little brush
circles. Art circles.
Yeah. But you created something beautiful in the process.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
So that's awesome. And, you know, the day you had the art expo down there, I went to Fishbone Alley first.
Yeah.
And just walked around. There wasn't anybody else down there. And I just walked around and seeing all the artwork and seeing the creativity and the expression down there, it was just, it was beautiful to me because, like, you're literally, like, the thing I love about art is you're taking an internal thought and visualizing it and creating something physical from that.
Right.
And you're trying to interpret your vision for the world to see.
Right.
And that's what y'all did down there.
Mm-hmm.
And like you took your pain and you made this beautiful mural out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a story like that behind every piece out there. Like one of the ones I loved was I Love Now.
Oh, yeah.
I love, like, I sat there and stared at that mm-hmm. because of how, like, powerful that is.
Yeah.
Just because of the kind of the meaning that I took
right.
behind it. I mean, I don't even know what the artist was trying to say with that,
right.
but the meaning I got from that piece,
uh-huh.
I was like, wow. Yeah. I do love now.
Being present.
Yeah.
Just being present.
Exactly.
So many people get wrapped up in the past or wrapped up in the future, and it's just like, be right here. You're mm-hmm. exactly where you're supposed to be.
Right now is the only thing you control.
Yeah. It's like, just be.
Mm-hmm. So awesome, awesome. Well, congratulations on
Thank
that.
You.
It is beautiful. What's next in your artistic ventures?
So I get real bored real easy, and people are like, what kind of mediums do you use? I'm like, anything I can find. Like,
yeah.
I've been picking stuff up off the beach, and I'm all over the place, but it keeps my creative flow open versus mm-hmm. just sitting there painting, you know, like
yeah.
I can't do it. But right now I've got to switch it up again, and I'm about to switch into, I'm a milliner, so I'm a hat maker
mm-hmm.
as well. And I'm about to do a new hat line. It's probably been about 6 years since I put a hat line out.
Oh, wow.
So I'm in this new creative space where all these transitions have like led me to do what I love, and
mm-hmm.
it's to create. And I'm going to put a new hat line out. So that's what I'll be doing. There'll be an art show at the Almost Circle Gallery that Julia Reyes runs down downtown Biloxi
mm-hmm.
behind the Mary Mahoney's. And it's going to be on July 7th. And it's called The Spirit of Summer. And I'm really excited about it because she's got these really cute like Southern Belle fans for her props. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Yes, queen. Love those. Go
Absolutely.
With the headdresses.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what she's doing down there.
And she's making some moves. I love the space
yeah.
she's holding for people to congregate.
Yeah, and the first time I went down there, you know, it was just such a cool atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was the night they had, I forgot who was doing the pottery, but it was the night.
Beers on tap.
Yeah.
I was there. I remember we saw each other.
Yeah, exactly.
We had a nice picture together.
And there was, you know, 200 or 300 people out there all having a good time and
That's
just
awesome.
Sharing thoughts and ideas.
Yeah.
And just being happy together.
Yes.
And, you know, I just thought that was like really powerful. And that's one thing that's great about art.
Uh-huh.
Is it has that ability to bring people together.
Yes, it does.
And it has that ability to, because you look at art through your perception and your colored glasses
mm-hmm.
of how you see it, well, as long as you understand that, you know, you have your own identity and how you're going to see things, well, I love hearing other people's interpretations of that.
Yes.
Because I know how I see it.
Right.
But I want to know how other people see it.
Right.
And I think the ability to kind of open your mind to that just brings people together.
Yes. It almost breaks down barriers.
It does.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Illusions of separation, you know?
Yeah. So, like, what she's doing down there, I think, is, you know, really powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And we need more art, and we need more things like that
yes.
on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
I agree.
Liven
this place up a little bit.
Yeah. And just kind of elevate people. And get them exposed to, you know, something more. But more importantly, bring people together.
Yes.
Because there was people from all different walks of life
Wasn't
down there.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yes.
The art show. We
That's
had a great turnout, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all, like, the community was there. It
exactly.
wasn't just, like, individual friends or just family, which
yeah.
they were there, too. But it was, like, just people I hadn't seen in years and went to
mm-hmm.
high school with. And they're like, man, I can't believe other people ain't out here supporting somebody I went to school. You know, just, like, hearing these perceptions, but having that support.
Yeah.
It's all about support. Because I feel like being in a vulnerable state of putting my soul out there, putting my truth out there with fear of judgment or fear of not being accepted and all these fears, you know, so it's just like trying to get that out the way. But just to have that support versus it's like I put a comment out or something and there's that one person that says, I really needed to hear that today.
Yeah.
And right before they said that, I was questioning. I'm like, should I remove it? Should I not? People think I'm crazy to do, you know, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's like that's me losing my power.
Yeah, that's exactly
Second
right.
Second guessing all that, you know?
So now that you say that, I got a question for you.
Okay.
So, and I know, like, artistic expression is one thing, and you want your art to be seen, but I know from my point of view, I would, and I did this with my book, I was very fearful of putting my book out there
mm-hmm.
for fear of letting people down, it not being good enough,
mm-hmm.
and... You know, I know that's a lot of personal insecurities I have that I had to overcome, but I was just really fearful of that.
Yeah.
Do you ever deal with that?
Oh, for sure.
Especially how do you overcome that? That's the biggest question.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
It's been a step by step because I'm working on this new art series that's very sacred to me, and I haven't shown anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe just a handful of friends, and they're like, oh, you got to put it out. You know, they're just
yeah.
like really having that support is what I need, you
mm-hmm.
know? But... I think the more vulnerable we are, the more people connect to it. The more passionate you are about something, the more it draws someone closer. You know, and that's what I keep trying to tell myself. I'm like, it's all right. You can do it, you know. But for me, getting through the fear, like your question was, my New Year's resolution this year was to do a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. This is my second one. So I feel this is, I'm so excited to have this one-on-one conversation with you because this is really a special experience for me. But it was my goal just to put my voice out there physically, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, well, what if it's recorded? And then 10 years later, they can go back and like, and I may have evolved from that state. And then, you know,
it's permanent at that point.
Yes, yes. But then I'm like, you know what? That's okay because I evolved too. So then people can evolve along the way as well, you know, and see those states of growth and be an example. And so for me, it was like doing that first podcast. And I was like, okay, got my voice out on the thing. And then, you know, it was making that video, singing. I'm not a singer. The girl cannot sing.
Me either. I feel you on that.
No. But I mean, you know, I hit Amazing Grace like it was. Let me hit that Amazing Grace real quick. So putting my voice out in song, putting it out in spoken word. I did a spoken word with the video. So I put some poetry, you know, putting that out there, you know, doing all these different things that I've never done before. But it was like one step at a time, you know. And then I get down to Miami right after the project and I went and performed live at an open mic night down and Speak in Miami.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
So to speak in front of a audience was the next big thing, you know. So then I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get on the Ellen DeGeneres show. So, you know, I got to get my feet wet.
Right.
You know? So I'm like, okay, I can handle this crowd. So to get up there and I read the spoken word from the project and the guy that was leading it, the MC, was really intuitive. And when I got done, he was like, do you have another poem you'd like to share with us? He could feel it on me, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, here I go. So I just stood up there and I just started speaking without a script, without a, you know, and just speaking from my heart. And they received it really well and had people amening and in the background.
Love
and I'm
it.
Like, yes, I needed that right now. So yeah, it's just been one little thing at a time, you know, revealing my face, revealing my voice, revealing my art, whatever it is. And the support, it's all about the support for me and that positive feedback, you know, or just even reaching that one person. It only takes one person.
Oh, I know.
Just one. And it's just like, it makes it all worth it.
It does. And that's, for me, when I published the book, about a week after it was published, and of course I was seeing, you know, the 5-star reviews on Amazon and we hit bestseller and all of that, but none of that really relinquished that fear as much as a lady I worked with pulled me aside one day at work. And she, like, started getting emotional and her eyes started tearing up. And she was like, Robbie, I had no clue. I had no clue you went through all that.
Yeah.
And it was powerful for me to read that because I know what you feel. I feel it too.
Ugh.
And
makes me want to cry.
Yeah. And I did tear up there.
Oh, it makes me want to cry.
And I was
that's what it's all for.
Exactly right. That at that moment, I'm like, okay, if no one else reads this book,
that right there
is worth it.
Yep. Yeah.
And you've got to feel that way with your art.
I've had a similar experience. I felt like I was really guided through this whole, you know, that whole project. And the very last day, I was putting the clear coat on it, right? And these two women come down there, and they stopped. And there was people constantly and talking and whatever. And they came down there, and she was just like, I could just feel her, first of all. I could feel both of them, you know. They're just like vibing real hard. And I'm like, these ladies, where y'all coming from, you know? And
yeah.
She was like, my husband would love this. And, you know, so I get down, I start, and she's just feeling, I could tell she's feeling really connected to it. So I just start explaining to her what the message behind it is. And honey, she is falling out in the middle of the alley, like, oh, you know, like, I mean, falling out. And I'm just like, so I'm just steady flowing it because I know she's receiving it and she's supposed to hear it. Me and her are crying in the alley together, like bawling, crying. She's like, you don't understand what I've been going through. Like, this is the message that I needed. And I was like, it's all divine. We're supposed to meet. But then she turned around and delivered a message for me. She was a psychiatrist in New Orleans. So I'm delivering this powerful message to her. We're both in tears. And then she turns around and she's like, honey, let me tell you something. It ain't about the fame. It ain't about the money. She said, it's about reaching people. And she goes, and I want you to know that you just reached me. And if I'm the only person you reached during this whole process, know that it was worth it. Wow. And it was so powerful. I mean, we were both bawling. So it's like I gave her this beautiful message, but it was a gift in return that she gave me one right about on what to focus on. Yeah, I'm getting all this publicity and whatever, and it's not about that.
No.
It's like, yeah, that's all important because to reach the people, that's necessary, you know? But she brought my focus where it needed to be, and it was a blessing. So I had a similar experience in that, and I feel like we're very blessed to have had reached that one person because it keeps us going, you know?
It does. It does. And, you know, a lot of times... You know, even though you have like those moments, it's so hard to keep the fear at bay exposing who you really are and being in that vulnerable state. Because only in a truly vulnerable, authentic state, I believe that's where we help people.
Yes.
I believe that's who people relate to.
Yes.
They don't relate to this fake person you put on the internet.
Right.
9 million Snapchat filters and, you know, rah-rah speeches. They don't relate to that.
Right.
They relate to real people that have been through real crap.
Yeah.
And you have to be vulnerable in that state, and it's tough.
Yeah.
So having that reinforcement of knowing you touch someone, it gives us the ability to dig deep down to that vulnerable state and expose it.
Yes. It's powerful.
It is. It
takes bravery. Bravery. Because that's what people, that's those protection mechanisms are stopping me from being vulnerable or feeling these emotions or whatever. I'd rather just be hard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're missing out on so much of life.
Absolutely.
You know?
And, you know, just to kind of switch gears a little bit, one of the reasons, like, I love talking to Jerrica and we've become really close is... We share a lot of viewpoints the same on how we see the world and kind of this open-minded philosophy we have.
Yes.
Because we do come from two different backgrounds and we meet so many other people through our travels and everything we do from different backgrounds. But through that, we've been able to grow and learn and really learn some amazing, powerful lessons.
Yeah.
So I know with you, when I first started like interacting with you, one of the things that amazed me the most, and it's honestly, I can say this 100% honesty, one of the most powerful energies I've ever been around as far as that ability to exude happiness in other people.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And like, you could like literally feel it flowing out of you.
Yeah.
But my question is what kind of started you down that journey to be able to do that? Like, how did you get to that point?
I would say it probably started in college, and it started with a good group of friends that I had in school, which we all went our separate ways, but it's funny how we all reunited, you know, 8 years later. And we've all had these spiritual experiences and all like lined up and have this great support system for each other. But I would say it started with the movie The Secret.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. There's a book as well.
Yeah.
But that was years ago. And it was the first thing that opened my mind up to the law of attraction. And just, you know, physical, I mean, you know, concepts of just how energy works, reaping what you sow. You know, you're the creator of your own reality. So I would say it started there.
It started there.
Started there, yeah. And then it just kind of escalated and doors started to open slowly over the years. But I would say the past 2 years have been like blast off for me.
Yeah.
Especially the past, past 2 years have been like blast off.
Okay, because that's really when I've gotten to know you the last couple years.
Yeah, it's really been blast off where I've really like learned all these different types of... I would say I study under different lineages now where I'm at versus it's shamanism, Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, whatever it is, you know, like I'll surround myself with these healers or mystics or, you know, whatever they are. And I just come at it with an open mind versus my belief system or what is ingrained in me, you know, coming at it with open mind because it's working for these people.
Yeah.
Flat out watching it work, you know, and I'm like, okay.
Exactly. And if it's working, there's a lesson to be learned there.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. So why not at least go listen to what that could be?
Exactly.
And it's not saying like, oh, I'm going to abandon all my beliefs.
Right.
No, it's just being open to, because you can take your beliefs and shape it to learn this lesson.
Yeah.
And apply it to your belief system.
Right.
But you have to first be open to just hearing them out.
Yes, 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 and yes. Because so many people are so defensive and, oh, I believe this and I believe that. And it's like, okay, that's great. I respect your beliefs.
Absolutely.
But do you want to hear what I may have to hold?
Yeah.
You don't, because you're that defensive? Well, you're missing out on a lot, you know?
A lot.
Yeah, for me, it's just going in with an open mind. But I've studied under all these different lineages, and it's like I've taken from what has worked for me, and I've created a belief system out of that. You know what I mean? And it's like, I believe this because it's working for me, not because someone told me to believe this.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, and I think it's about bridging the lineages, too, just like it is with our race and, you know, these all these separation of our skin color, or I'm Buddhist, or I'm Christian, or I'm this, or I'm that. And it's like, it doesn't matter. We're all human, and the source of it is love.
Absolutely.
You know? And having, you know, a healed state to that. So I think it's connecting these lineages and forming these brother-sister bonds versus having enemies.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's be honest, most people that watch and listen to my podcast are going to come from the Christian faith.
Right.
And the number one rule of the Christian faith is love.
Right.
And loving others and being accepting of others. And, you know, he came and walked the earth to help those that were hurting and, you know, the prostitutes.
Yeah,
and
rebels in destruction.
Yeah, he came to help those. So if that's the man that we're all supposed to follow his example,
Jesus,
why are we on, why are so many on the other end of the spectrum?
And I feel like Jesus, you know, walked this earth to show what the human form could do. He was manifested in a human body and created miracles and healing. I feel that we have everything we need with inside of us to heal ourselves or even help heal others. And like we were talking before we started the podcast on just mind power, mind control. You know what I mean? Just the power of your mind or that placebo effect. But I feel like Jesus walked this earth to show what the healing powers that we each have within ourselves. You know, he was like, I'm a human. Maybe I'm like God, but I mean, I'm human, you know, in a human form. So this is what you can do. You know, it was a walking example. He was a teacher, a great teacher. So, yeah, and I think it's tapping into that higher self in us and how can we heal ourselves of these traumas that we've experienced, or a lot of it's childhood trauma, pre-8 years old, which manifests, you know, later in our adult lives, which a lot of people don't realize. Bad dating patterns.
Yeah.
Why am I attracting this type of partner? Why am I not having enough abundance in my life? You know, any of these things, it's all from childhood trauma.
You know, I'm glad you bring up the point of the things we go through our childhood affect the rest of our life.
Right.
Because one of the guys that I follow the most, and I'm not going to get into the fanboy moment I had when he interacted with me on Instagram.
Okay.
It was bad. But he has something called the Elmo effect. It's Wesley Chapman.
Okay.
And Wesley says that, you know, if you're 8 years old and all you want for Christmas is an Elmo doll, you tell your parents that, you tell everybody you know, like, all I want for Christmas is an Elmo doll. But instead for Christmas, you get the new PlayStation, you get a bike, you get two $500 gift cards, you get this amazing Christmas, but no Elmo doll. If you're not aware of it, which 8-year-old is, at that point, ingrained into your subconscious is, no one listens to me. No one loves me because they're not listening to me.
Right.
And you're going to carry that with you the rest of your life because it scars you. And it hurts you deep enough where you can literally, in every relationship the rest of your life, have that Elmo effect carry over. Where if you're 35 years old dating someone and you ask your girlfriend to do something and she doesn't do it, well, then she doesn't love me. She hates me because she didn't listen to me.
Right.
And unless you address that issue, it's going to affect you the rest of your life.
Right.
That one moment when you're 8 years old affects you the rest of your life. And it's extremely powerful. And I know, like, once I listen to that, I'm like, wow, that's happened to me.
Right.
I carried some things from my childhood until I was 30 years old.
Right.
And I let them deeply affect me. But it was understanding, wow, okay, this happened in my childhood. It's no longer happening. It's no longer affecting me, yet I'm letting it deeply affect me. Mm-hmm. Just because of the way I perceive the world and the glasses that I wear.
Right, the story you tell.
The story I keep telling myself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that childhood thing, it's big and we often don't think about it.
Yeah, everything stems from that, I feel like. Everything. With that story, like what pops into my head is the five love languages. Mm-hmm. You've heard of.
Absolutely. Definitely read that book.
So the five love languages. So we as humans speak one love language primarily, but there are five of how we show love and receive it. It's words of affirmation, mm-hmm. gift giving, physical touch, quality time, and acts of service. Well, each of us humans speak that one language primarily, so it's good to know what your love language is of how you give and receive love. Like mine is acts of service. So I'm like really nurturing. I love to cook and clean and feed and just make sure everyone's taken care of. But that's me showing my affection and my mm-hmm. love for them. But on the opposite end, when I'm like grinding away on all these big projects and got 1,000 things going on, when someone steps in, it's like, hey, you know, boom, boom, boom. And I'm, you know, just helping me with simple things.
Yeah.
I'm so gratified. Like my love tank's so full, you know, and I'm like, oh, thank you. That's the biggest, you know, the biggest mm-hmm. accomplishment. So I feel knowing your love language and not only your partner, but just, you know, your mother or your roommate or whoever. And like, once you start seeing how they may show love, you know, it tunes you in to, you know, speak theirs as well. So it's really powerful. And then also, too, I feel like it's getting your needs met. I think that's like a really big, big thing.
And I think that goes into communication.
Yeah.
And we don't communicate how someone else can meet those needs.
Right.
Especially in a relationship.
Right.
And we expect other people to know what we want. Yeah. We expect other people to know how to show us love.
Yeah.
And when then they don't, we get angry.
Right.
And, oh, they don't love us.
Right.
Well, that could be the farthest thing from the truth.
Right.
But they just don't know how to show you that.
Right.
They don't understand that, hey, gifts. Like, you know, a lot of women say, all my husband does is buy me gifts. He doesn't really love me. Mm-hmm. Well, that could be his love language.
Right. Gift giving.
That could be the way he shows his love.
And if she was aware of that and she saw that versus it's not her love language, she'd still appreciate his affection and love.
Exactly.
You know, it brings in that respect for one another.
Yeah. Like, I know for me personally, I'm the exact way you are. Mm-hmm. Acts of service. Mm-hmm. You could give me words of affirmation all day long.
Mm-hmm. Don't even hear them.
No. They have no effect on me at all.
Right.
But you show me that.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like, right. You've reached my soul.
Right.
You've touched my heart.
Yeah.
And it means the world to me.
Right.
And, you know, gift giving, like, that's another thing. Like, it does nothing for me.
And see, I thought it was my first love language because I'm a master gift giver and I love to receive gifts. I'm all about that life. Yeah. But then, you know, and I thought it was my love language. And when I took the test, because there's a test you take online under the 5lovelanguages.com. Mm-hmm. I gift giving was my last love language. It was the very bottom of the totem. I'm like, well, heck, I am.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of interesting.
Definitely.
It's not what you think it is.
No.
A lot of men think theirs is physical touch, and it's not.
No.
You know? But they think it is.
Yeah.
Which
of course.
Is, you know? But, so yeah, so the five love languages, I think, are really good.
And like I said, I think that goes back to communication.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, the five love languages is very good at identifying those things.
Right.
But if you even want to be more simple than that,
uh-huh.
It's just having open communication with someone.
And authenticity.
Oh.
And not manipulation. Manipulation is just something I see in so many people's lives. And even in my own, you know, I just got to a stage where I, like, cut that out, like, really trying to pinpoint where I was manipulating to get needs met versus whatever they were, you know. Mm-hmm. And because they were so organic and unsubconscious, and I would just actfully do it. And then I'd be like, oh, I'd catch it. And I'd be like, wow, okay, hold on. I got this going on in my life. Like, how do I get this out? But it took a lot of catching myself in an organic matter.
Yeah.
You know,
because I think a lot of people that are manipulative don't think they are.
Yeah, and everyone doesn't think they are.
They don't realize they're doing it.
Right. It's in subconscious.
Exactly. And I'm glad you bring that up, because that's one thing that I'm trying to get people to realize is living that authentic self.
Yeah.
And defining your authentic path to happiness. What does that look like? What is that self-awareness in your authenticity?
Yes.
Because so many people aren't aware of their authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
All they're aware of really is how to act from their voids and insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where manipulation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
When all you're trying to do is live in the self-service of filling your voids and insecurities,
mm-hmm.
of course you're going to have to manipulate someone to do that.
Right.
Because what person comes in your life just to fill your voids? Like,
yeah.
Who does that selfishly?
Yeah.
Like, unselfishly. So if you need someone in your life just to fill your own voids and insecurities, of course you're going to have to manipulate them.
Yeah.
So it's understanding that, okay, well, why do I need that? Why do I have to be manipulative to get those voids and insecurities met?
Right.
Where's my authentic self?
Yeah.
And
being true to it. And then when you find it, which is like a glory moment.
Yeah.
But then it's like, for me, it was like setting boundaries down, you know, because like, you know, I may have felt like a certain way to, you know, I wasn't ready to like maybe interact in a certain way or whatnot and was pressured into acting and then wanted to take the victim mentality of poor, pitiful me, you know,
yeah.
I just got manipulated, can't believe this, But really, that was a lack of my boundaries and me being authentic to myself to know that if I cross this boundary, I'm really cheating myself. It wasn't mm-hmm. the person doing it to me, you know? So it was like
exactly.
taking that responsibility for actions
and you allowed emotions. You allowing that to happen.
Me allowing that to happen. So it's like having those boundaries intact that you know that make your spirit feel good, you know? Because when you cross over them and you feel that, you know, that guilt or whatever those things are, that's telling you to go backwards that you're not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, stay true to that. Because I see people battle with, like, even drugs, for instance. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want to do it. But then when someone gets in front of me, you know, then it's like, well, that's your own personal boundaries. You're cheating yourself.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like that's really detrimental to the soul.
It is. So I know how I did it. How did you go down the path to discovering your authentic self?
That's a good question. My authentic self. I think it was just really getting in tune with myself and finding that place within myself of neutralness, you know, and distincting a good vibration from a bad vibration,
mm-hmm.
listening to my body because it speaks, you know, and like, for instance, like before where I would get around a gas station with fried chicken, I'd be like, oh yeah, I want one of the pizza rolls, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need that. But then now when I get around it, like if I'm just around fruits and vegetables and I'm cutting them, I can feel my body rejoicing. Like it's already thanking me and I haven't even consumed it.
Yeah.
Or if I go like by the gas station with the fried chicken, I can feel my face like literally curling in. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, it's like rejecting it already just by the smell or the sense of it, you know? So getting in touch with those senses and those listening to my body react and, you know, what's it saying, you know? I feel really helped me tap into my authenticity because once you start listening to that body and then also the inner voice is constantly speaking, you know,
yeah.
you have that, it's constantly going. But what I've learned is what it's rolling, if you can be conscious enough to tune into those thoughts, like I feel that our spirits are constantly speaking. We may not be verbally speaking out loud, but our spirits are communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually practiced this with people sometimes. They don't know it, and it may be a little much, but like, yeah, that's why I probably, they don't know it. But like,
yeah.
if the music's really bad in the car, you know, and it's like driving me crazy, instead of me acting out, being like, can you turn the music down or whatever, I'll say it internally within my spirit and say, could you turn the music off? It's really bad. And within 3 seconds, minute max, it takes patience,
mm-hmm.
you know, wait, they'll turn the music off. So our spirits are constantly communicating. And it's just listening to those inner thoughts because it's like, I may not be able to specifically read your mind, but I'm answering what your frequency is. So that way I can kind of tell what the conversation is just by what my thoughts are answering. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm glad you bring that up because... That brings us to a very good point we need to make.
Yeah.
Is slowing down enough to actually listen
yes.
to that.
Yes.
And it's slowing down your mind.
Yes.
Because, like you say, your body is giving you feedback 24/7. It's just, that's what it does.
Yeah.
Your body is giving you every bit of diagnostic equipment you need to fully reach your maximum human potential. But it's being in tune and listening to it.
And trusting your intuition is the biggest key I think I had to learn, because I had an issue with trust. I had a blockage with trust. With people, probably old trauma that I experienced, and trust people, whatever. And then all of a sudden I had this revelation to where it's like, I trust myself. When you have those random thoughts or random things that are guidance, you know, or your body or spirit telling you what to do and you brush it off, trust it, you know, right when it comes in, trust it, you know. So that helped me find my authenticity, you know, is really just trusting my intuition or the visions, you know, like you have a certain vision or you think you might hear something or, you know, these things that people brush off, that's all guidance, you know, versus it's from spirit or from yourself or from your higher self or God or whatever it's from, you know, it's like trusting that because it's powerful.
And I want you to touch on this too, because we talk a lot about this, but I want everybody else to hear this too. The path to your authentic self is not all unicorns and rainbows.
Oh, no, honey.
There's a lot of dark moments in that path.
I feel like without the darkness, there would be no light. Without the light, there would, you know, it's a balance. And we see polarity consciousness as two opposites. I want to be good because I shouldn't be evil. You know, and it's like, it's all one thing and it all just is, you know, and that's a big concept to really kind of like chew on, you know, and like feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Because we were talking about that, because it's like through the trauma comes the revelations. As much trauma that you experience is on the opposite end, it has to balance out.
It does.
So if you go through this wave of trauma, as intense as it is, that's how intense the jolt of ascension is going to be.
Absolutely.
It's a balance, you know? So it's like getting back to that state of accepting the pain, accepting what the lesson is that it has to offer you.
Yeah, and I think that's a big problem in our culture today, and the way people are trying to coach and do better and achieve a higher level is, oh, be positive. Always do good, like live in this amazing moment. Sometimes we need to go down that dark hole.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes we need to feel that hurt.
Be vulnerable.
We do, because let's be honest, to make a drastic change in your life, it has to come from a place of emotion.
Yeah.
And if you're always steering clear of that hurt emotion and going towards a positive and, oh, I can't think like that, I got to be positive.
You're not dealing with it.
You're not dealing with it. Exactly. It's always going to be there. And only once you get to that dark place where you're feeling that emotional hurt, are you going to truly have the motivation you need to change it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if every time you start to feel hurt, your immediate reaction is, oh, let me get away from that.
Right.
Let me not feel that hurt. Let me get back to being positive. If that's your immediate reaction every time, you're going to keep feeling that hurt. It's always going to keep resurfacing.
I'm a believer, too. I think that's where body illness comes from, cancer, whatever it may be. If you keep, you know, going back, which it's a great practice to practice positivity. Don't get absolutely. Me wrong. But, like, if you don't face those dark sides of yourself, you know, that's where emotional illness will come in, cancer, whatever. And it'll have to do with the chakra systems, you know. I can get deep into that, of, like, how it's connected to what energy centers, you know, like, from congestive heart failure, you know, and the heart's blocked by grief, you know. So where does that grief stem from?
Yeah.
You know, it's really getting into those places, because when you're, like, you're right, when you get into that dark space, that's where the healing lies. That's where the treasure is. It's facing those fears, you know, facing those demons.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kicking them in the face. Let's get out of here.
Right,
let
I mean.
That shit go.
Let's go back to the movie Goonies. They didn't discover their treasure till they went through crap.
Exactly.
And I know it's such a cheesy metaphor, but it's so true.
It is.
I mean, what movie have you watched, a treasure hunt movie, whatever it may be, where they find some huge pot of gold at the end of the movie that they not have to go through crap to get there?
Yep.
And it's such a great metaphor for life.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually had to face those trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't go around them.
Right.
They actually had to go to that dark spot, deal with what was going on, so they could move on.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, with people, you know, it's like that, oh, I want to be good, I want to be good. The biggest fear in every person's heart is, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who am I? I want to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what is bad? You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like loving those dark parts of yourself. Integration. It's integrating the lineages of like what I was talking about, but it's also integrating within yourself. Mm-hmm. Integrating those dark spaces, because it's like everyone wants to be loved for even the dark sides of themselves. They know they have them, but it's like want to hide them. So, yeah. So, you know, but it's like you truly want to be loved for that. So it's like do that with work within yourself. Mm-hmm. Love those dark sides of yourself, because that's what they are. They're crying out to you, versus it come manifest in forms of addiction or, you know, whatever forms it manifests in.
Yeah. And yeah, like you're saying, like those dark sides, if you don't deal with them, mm-hmm. they're going to manifest in something a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to understand what they are, where they come from, mm-hmm. and how to deal with them.
Right.
And as long as you're not using those to hurt other people, mm-hmm. then you do have to spend some time in them.
And honor those feelings instead yeah. of like getting away from them. Be in those states of pain and be in those states of emotion and question them. When was the first time I ever felt this?
Exactly.
When was the last time I ever felt this? What is this that I'm feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And trust in that intuition, because you'll get visions, you'll get downloads, you'll get signs, you know? And it's just stopping and being clear enough to like see them.
Yeah. And I know this is, you know, a line that I use a lot. It's getting to the root of the problem.
Yes, it is.
And when you say like understanding where they come from, mm-hmm. like, okay, I think this way. Well, why do I think this way?
Right.
Like if I have this like negative thought in my head, what's the stem of that?
Right.
Where did that first come from? When did I first have that thought?
Exactly.
Because only in its origin can you get to the true root of the problem and pull out that root.
And it usually takes a trigger.
It does.
Someone cheating on you. Someone doing something horrible to you.
Right. Where you're the victim. Yep.
But it's like taking that pain. I've had some intense healings where I had people do things to me. Yeah. And they in the physical world, they did. You know what I mean? Like, you just screwed me over, like, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But in a spiritual sense, I would then turn that and use that as a tool of taking responsibility, because it's just a trigger and it'll keep triggering throughout your life and cycles until you do take that responsibility, yeah. look inward and see what is that emotion that this person so wrongly did to me, you know, but they triggered it. But mm-hmm. it's me that's feeling this way, not them.
Exactly.
Versus they did it to me or not.
That's exactly right.
And that's how I figured out my dating patterns. I figured out some really crazy stuff about myself, mm-hmm. like by taking that responsibility.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's one of the, it's called shadow work. Mm-hmm. Shadow work, you know, it's like it's emerging with your shadow side.
Mm-hmm. And people, please understand, it's like we're not saying like you should live in that negative dark world. That's not where you should live.
Right.
You know, you should live in a life of love and abundance.
Yes.
We're just trying to tell you, like, you have to deal with that dark side. You have to deal with the negativity that's going on in your life. You can't always just brush it under the rug.
Drink it away.
Yeah, drink it away, or any other million addictions. Eat it away, like I used to do. Any other million addictions that we have, like, you have to actually deal with them and let them come to surface so you can. But then, like we talked about earlier, and it's so freaking true. You know, you go through these dark times and you go through these dark paths. But as dark as they are and as much as they hurt, the reward on the other side.
Oh, so beautiful.
It's amazing.
I would compare it to washing out dishes, you know, because people are like, oh, you do this healing work on yourself. When do you think you'll ever be done healing? I'm like, I compare it to a thing of dishes. You know, you get dishes in the sink, you clean it and it's whistle clean, but then there's always dishes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just constantly doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you were saying about me radiating that love. So me going in and doing that healing work and moving and honoring these horrible feelings or shadow sides of myself or whatever has made space for love and healing. So that feeling, you know, I'm creating it within my own being then to project it outwards, because that's what's inside of me, you know?
Exactly.
And then on that level, too, you can also hold space for other people. Mm-hmm. So people who are ill or depressed or in these states that they just cannot get out of it, you know? And I know you're an empath too, so you feel people in these states. And sorry, I lost my train of thought. I do that sometimes.
It's
I get
all
the
good.
Flow in, you know?
Yeah.
But what was I saying about them being in the emotional states?
It's having enough room in yourself in order to help others.
Yeah. And you can hold space for people. That's what I was saying. you can hold space for people. So for people that don't feel love in their life or don't feel healing or don't feel it, you can literally concentrate on it, visualize it, mantra it in your head, whatever. All of those different things are tools that hold a frequency. You know, mm-hmm. you can pull that frequency in and literally stand next to that person and open up an energetic space for them to feel healing or to feel love. You can hold space for someone else.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a really good tool for people to use, just for anyone, because it's like, no matter what our neighbor's struggle is, it becomes our own.
Absolutely.
You know?
And there's a lot of, and I know, like, some people are probably watching right now, I'm like, oh man, they're getting out there. But I'm gonna tell you this. There is new science that is actually pointing towards the power when two people come together,
mm-hmm.
the physiological changes mm-hmm. their bodies go through.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the new science studies is called brain coupling,
mm-hmm.
where when you're having a deep connection conversation with someone,
mm-hmm.
they put people in MRI machines and it actually shows their brain wavelengths coming together into the same pattern.
Mm.
The exact same wavelength, and it's called brain coupling.
That's cool. It's like holding cool. space for someone.
Exactly. Or when two people come together and connect, their blood pressures will start to normalize to one another.
Wow.
Their heart rates will start to normalize to one another. And, you know, you can call it what you want to, but they're now proving it to be true.
Well, same thing with women on their menstruation cycle.
Yeah, and that's crazy too.
Too,
you know? Yes. And, you know, like I said, call what you want to, but that energy flow mm-hmm. between two people,
mm-hmm.
it's real.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it's scientifically proven now.
Yes.
Because it's always something I've kind of felt.
mm-hmm.
Like I could literally feel someone's energy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, is this just something I'm manifesting in my brain?
Yeah,
like what's
creating
this? Yeah, like what's going on here? But science now is proving that, no, this is actually a physiological change
mm-hmm.
that's happening in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even gone as far now where the vagus nerve in your heart,
mm-hmm.
actually they've connected that to emotional responses.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so like now we can measure this nerve that connects to your heart that responds to emotions.
That's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, scientists, they're proving all this, you know, connection between people, and it's amazing. So that's powerful.
Well, have you heard of like when, like the body speaking, like when, say, if you have knee pain or elbow or joint or finger or whatever it is that's hurting you on your body, that your body's actually trying to tell you a message?
Yeah.
So for me, I've been having knee pain. I've always been really athletic, love to work out, eat healthy. It just makes me feel good. But I hadn't worked out. I hadn't done sprints in a while. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And I got in the little field behind my house. And then I was like, oh, I'm about to gazelle this, you know. And
right.
I was like getting out there, just getting it, going ham. And mm-hmm. then I got in my house and my little knee was like, no, Hercules, you are not going ham and you're not a gazelle. And I'm like, oh, no knee, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, I looked up the meaning. I just researched this stuff, but I looked up the meaning behind the knee pain and what it means. And it was, and I had knee pain for 2 months straight. Yes, it's from the injury, but what it meant was resistance to move forward. Interesting, right?
That's very interesting.
Each limb or whatever it is has a certain meaning to it. So your body will literally speak to you and tell you what's going on emotionally. It's came kind of concept with the heart.
Yeah, if you're in tune.
If you're in tune.
And right. you want to listen to it. Well, I hate doing this because we literally could talk for hours.
Is it already over?
We are at the wrap-up point. I know.
I've enjoyed this so much.
We definitely might have to do this again.
It's long overdue. Yeah. We definitely should.
So, in wrapping up, I want to thank you for a second. I want to thank you for our conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, the energy you put out in the world.
Oh, thank you.
It's such, you know, a loving spirit that you put out there, and it resonates with people. I mean, I've felt it in my life, and I know you're doing it to everyone else too. So I just want to commend you for that and thank you for that.
That's so beautiful.
Because it's true and it's real, and I want you to know that it's not going unnoticed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's mutual, though. I mean, I feel the same way about you. It's like when we see each other, it's like this flame. It's like inspiration. It's like, let's talk about it. We're going to take
let's talk
the
about
world.
This, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in wrapping up, where can people go to follow you, your art, everything you're doing? Where can people go?
Right now, I have Facebook, of course, and then I'm on Instagram as well under Love Vitality.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll put all the links to her social media in the description. You'll want to follow her. She's on a beautiful journey, doing some amazing things. But just, guys, in wrapping up, thank you so much for tuning in. And to find out more about everything I'm up to, along with more about Jerrica, please go to robbiedeangelo.com. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes as well. And in wrapping up, she is not prepared for this. I hope she gets it right. Just want to remind you once again, the struggle is real. See, I told you she wasn't ready for that. I forgot to prepare for this. The struggle is real, but you are stronger, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, have a peaceful, amazing, beautiful journey and go serve the world.